Well, today, Lord willing, here, we're going to begin looking at the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And it's probably one of the most beloved, well, there's no probably about it. It's one of the most beloved chapters in all the Bible, John chapter 14. You've probably memorized several verses from this chapter. We could call it the comfort chapter. If you want to give it a name, that'd be a good name for this chapter, the comfort chapter. And we often hear it at funeral services and memorial services because God gives so much comfort through this awesome chapter. And it's really amazing how much comfort he gives, and especially when you think about the context. Because what's about to happen here in just a few hours from the time Jesus gives these words, just a few more hours, he's going to be scourged and crucified. It's not going to be long from these words. And yet, it seems like at a time when Jesus would be focused on himself. I mean, he's about to go through this horror. It's going to be agony that he's going to go through for us as he pays for our sins on the cross. That's just a few hours away. And instead, he's not focusing on himself. He's focusing on his disciples, his followers. He's focusing on us. And he's got this incredible peace about him, but his disciples don't. They don't have the peace that Jesus wants them to have. It seems that it ought to be the other way around here. Knowing that Jesus is the one about to die, it seems that the disciples ought to be comforting Jesus. But no, he is the source of comfort. He's the one who has the peace. In fact, he not only has peace, he is our peace. He himself, he's our peace. That's right. And this chapter, he's going to tell his disciples how they can have that peace. And us too, because it's written in God's word for us. So he's told them, I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. He's already told them that. He's prophesied that. He said, just like a seed has to fall into the ground and die, he said, I'm going to do that. Like a seed falls into the ground and dies so that it can bring forth a lot of fruit. He said, I'm going to have to die so I can bring forth fruit. He's already told Peter, Peter, before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times. He already knows that. And the disciples are kind of scared. They're not sure what Jesus is talking about. They can't understand all this. They've been very confused all along. They're still very confused. If Jesus is about to be taken away from them, they have no clue what that means. What's going to happen to them? They're probably thinking, we've left everything to follow Jesus. He's what our life's all about. We've been totally and completely depending on Jesus. He's our leader. If we lose him, what on earth are we going to do? So they're anxious and they're stressed out. And so Jesus begins to reassure them, and it's recorded for us. He's reassuring us too. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is the real key, isn't it, to conquering a troubled heart. It's trusting Jesus, trusting God. If we're really trusting him, if we're really trusting him, we know one way or another, he is going to fix things. He will. Abraham knew that. Remember, Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted what God had told him. So he believed God would deliver Isaac. He didn't know how. He just believed God would. And God did. And so should we. I mean, think about it. God is God, right? He has all the power. He has all the wisdom. He has all the love for us that we could ever imagine. Why do our hearts get troubled then? It's because we forget. We forget about this. We let our focus get on the stuff that's going on in our lives, the circumstances, instead of him. And so if we do that and we forget how powerful he is and how wise he is and how loving he is, our hearts will start getting troubled. That's the way it works. So it's just important to concentrate on him. But he knows, we all know how easy it is to get our focus off of him. It's so easy when things are going bad and difficult and we're having bad circumstances. It's easy to get our focus off him. He knew it would be. And that's why he gives us so many assurances, just like this, in his word. The Bible's full of it. And we need to be reminded over and over again to keep our focus on him, to praise him, to be reminded over and over again, he's going to fix it. He's going to come through. He will not let his kids down. He won't. It'll be in his perfect time, not mine, not ours, His perfect time. So over and over again in His Word, He reminds us, don't worry. Just a little bit later in this chapter, He says, peace I give you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. And then a little bit later, that same evening, this is a couple of chapters over in John, He says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. He doesn't deny that, but He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yes, He wants us to have that peace. A little later, through the Apostle Paul, he said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds or thoughts in Christ Jesus. He promised that. He gave us this through the prophet Isaiah 700 years earlier. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, fixed on thee, for he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Peace. He wants us to have that peace. And Jesus continues here in verse 2. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Again, this should be incredibly comforting to us. We're going to live in our Father's house, guys. We're going to live there. And Jesus is saying, don't worry, it's plenty big. It's big enough for everybody. You're not going to get left out. He said, when I came to the earth, there wasn't room for me in the inn even. I had to be born in a stable. But when you get to my Father's house, and by the way, it's not an inn, it's a house. When you get to my Father's house, you're not going to just be passing through. You're going to come to live. You're going to live with me. You're going to live with my Father. It's an awesome thought, guys. We're going to live with Him in His house. Did you notice He said He's going to prepare a place for us? And when I look at that, I think, I wonder what He meant by that. I mean, in what sense does it have to be prepared? Is He talking about, well, I'm going to do some construction work up in heaven for you? I don't think that's what He means. You know, in Matthew 25, Jesus said to His sheep, come and inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So in some sense, it was already prepared for His sheep long before creation even. It was prepared in some sense. So what's Jesus talking about? I think maybe what He means is that it's not quite prepared yet because He's got something else He needs to do. He's going to do it in just a few hours. He's going to pay for our sins. He's not done that yet, not when He said these words. He's going to do the work on the cross. I think when He went to the cross and did the work that He did for us on the cross, dying for our sins, that's when He prepared the place for us. And when He went through that crucifixion, the place was prepared. He had prepared the way. And from the time He utters these words, as we're reading it here in John, in just a few hours, He's going to prepare that place. And He says also, in my Father's house are many rooms or dwelling places. By the way, the King James translators translated this word mansions. When the King James translators translated it, they knew the Greek meant dwelling places, places to live, rooms. It's just that 400 years ago, when the King James translators translated this, the word mansion didn't mean then what it means to us today. It referred to a guest room in a large home for an honored guest. That's what it actually referred to. Eventually, after the King James was already translated, it came to describe the home itself. So people started calling the mansion not just the room, but the home. And now in our day, eventually down through the years, it came to mean this huge, imposing, luxurious home. But that can be a little bit of a problem for us today, because some people will start to think materialistically about heaven. Instead of thinking mainly about Jesus, they're thinking about the stuff. And we don't want to go there, do we? It's not all about the mansion. It's all about Jesus. We're going to get to be with Jesus. And so what we get to thinking is, well, my house down here is pretty shabby. I wish I had a nicer one. Someday I'll have a nicer one. And we will, but let's not make that the focus. The focus is Jesus. We're going to be with Jesus, and He's going to make it everything wonderful. That's the source of comfort. Where we're going to be is where Jesus is. We're going to be where He is with Him all the time. We're going to be with Jesus. That's what matters. I also think it's comforting here that He did not say, okay, guys, now listen carefully. Here are your directions. First, you're going to have to go over to a mountain over in Central Asia. So you go over to Central Asia and you'll find this mountain. And then you got to climb to the top of that mountain. And by the way, there's a trail. You'll have to look for a big rock. And when you get to that rock, you're going to turn onto this trail. And then you go to that. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. He says, I'm not going to just tell you how to get there. I'm going to come and get you. I'll take you there. I'll take you. You don't have to worry. I will take you. You don't have to figure out the directions. I will come and get you. And then he says in verse 4, and you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? You hear that confusion? He's still confused. The disciples are still confused. How can we know the way? And you know what Jesus said to him? One of the most important verses in the whole Bible. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am the way. Some of you are saying it with me. I appreciate that. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Isn't that an awesome verse? That's what Jesus said. This should be an incredibly comforting verse to us. It's wonderful. Jesus and only Jesus can take us to the Father. You know what's sad? Satan hates this verse, by the way. And so it's become one of the most controversial verses in the Bible today. Today, a lot of people who really don't know Jesus want us to agree with them that their way is as good as God's way. Everybody wants to tell us that when we use this verse, when we quote this verse, they'll say, oh, you're being so intolerant. They'll say the tolerant thing to say is that all roads lead to God. Everybody just has got his or her own way of getting to God, and that's the nice, tolerant thing to say. The only problem is it's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. So this is one of those verses that force us to decide that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. Otherwise, he's a liar. And so many people, guys, and we don't want to fall into this trap, but so many people have invented a Jesus in their imagination. They've come up with what they think Jesus ought to be like and what they think Jesus ought to teach and what they think Jesus ought to be telling us to do. They've invented a Jesus and he agrees with their theology, but unfortunately, it's not the Bible. It's not Bible theology. They don't like this verse. So without realizing it, what they're doing is getting rid of the Jesus of the Bible and inventing their own imaginary Jesus. Now, there are people doing that today, guys. And if they say, well, I just don't think Jesus would have said this. I think it was maybe added by somebody later on. They have to realize that that also, that speculation, that's part of their imagination too. There are no manuscripts that have anything different from this. The earliest manuscripts we have it just like it is right here. I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's just what all the Bible says. If we want to throw it out, then there's nothing that keeps us from throwing out anything else we don't like in the Bible. And there are people who are willing to do that. Here's the truth, and it's kind of an ironic truth because they call us Christians intolerant. The truth is Christians are the most tolerant people on earth, if we're true Christian, in the true meaning of the word tolerant, because we reach out to all kinds of people. It doesn't matter what their economic level is. It doesn't matter how much money they have or don't have. It doesn't matter. We love them. It doesn't matter what culture they're coming from. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what their ethnicity is. It doesn't matter what language they speak. It doesn't matter what nation they come from. It just doesn't matter. We love all kinds of people. They're all created in the image of God. God loves them all. We love them all. And we want them to all to find God's wonderful salvation through Jesus. That's the salvation he's provided, through Jesus. Not only that, but if Jesus isn't the only way to God, then the truth is he can't even be a way to God, because he would be an egomaniac, and an egomaniac can't be the way to God. He would be a liar. He'd be a liar. A liar can't be the way to God. He's the only way. We just need to accept and believe what he says. No one comes to the Father but by him. And listen, guys, that's really good news. That's good news, because he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love the way you guys are quoting the verses with me. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. We're going to stop right there. We'll pick it up there next time. Let's pray and thank Him for this. Father, thank You so much. You are awesome. You are awesome. And thank You that Jesus came, even at this particular time in His life when He was facing the horrific day that was going to come upon Him, when He was going to be beaten and scourged and mocked and ridiculed and shamed and stripped and nailed to a cross. Thank You, Jesus, for doing that for us. And even when You were facing that, You were giving peace to Your disciples and peace to us. Thank You that because of You, we don't have to let our hearts be troubled, that we don't have to be afraid, that You've prepared a place for us with the Father, and we're going to be with You forever and ever. And thank You for providing the way, that You are the way. And we love You for being the way, and we love You. We trust You. You're our hope, and You're our only hope, and You're the only hope we need. So thank You, Jesus. And thank You that You so loved the world that You gave Your life for anybody who's willing to trust You. So Lord, help us to be gracious and loving to people out there who are unbelievers, who are confused about You and confused about salvation. Lord, help us to be able to communicate Your truth to them. Use us to help them see the light, to help them see You more clearly. And Lord, get glory through us. But Lord, thank You, thank You, thank You for Your peace that passes understanding. Thank You for Your assurance. Thank You for the future that we have in Jesus. Thank You that we don't have anything to worry about. We don't have anything to be afraid about. No matter what happens, You're going to carry us through until we're with You forever, until we have our new bodies that are going to be eternal and everlasting and immortal and incorruptible. And Lord, we're excited about that. And we just look forward. We know, Lord, as quickly as life has passed this far, it's going to pass pretty quickly on into eternity. And so thank You that we have an eternity with You because of Jesus. And we thank You in His mighty name. Amen.